You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know, we've been on a series now on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and gifts of the Spirit on Wednesday nights. And we had some people baptized with the Holy Ghost, and we've talked about the experience out of Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, and Acts 8, and explained a lot of detail on praying in other tongues and what it is and what it isn't, and what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is, what it is, what it isn't. It's for Christians, for believers. It's not to be saved. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. You have to be saved to speak in tongues. According to the Scripture, they were saved first, then baptized with the Holy Spirit, and then baptized in water. So I want to get into the gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, literally the 8th, 9th, and 10th verses. And let's just take that apart. These things hadn't passed away. I know they're not preached and taught in a lot of churches, and we love those churches. We're for churches. We're not against churches. So we're not criticizing. We're not up here slamming other churches. You know, it always amazed me that if a salesman came to your house, had something to sell, he wouldn't get very far if all he did was just talk about how bad the competition was. If the product didn't sell itself, then your goal as a salesman is not to tear down everybody. It's to sell whatever it is you're trying to sell. Are you with me? And as a church, if we have a little more truth we believe maybe that another church has, and it's not our job to criticize other churches or to lambast other churches or tear down other churches. There's good people, love God in a lot of churches around our community and around the world, and we're pro-church. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're for you. Hallelujah. And we're for Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals and Catholic and Church of Christ and Church of God. And hallelujah. If you name the name of Christ, we're for you. But we do believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in healing. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost simply because we believe the Scripture says that. And that's what we want to deal with here. Not interpretations of this, not over-spiritualizing, but just let the Scripture speak for itself. The gifts, according to the Scripture, will be here until Jesus comes. In fact, that's actually what he says in the first chapter of this book in the 7th verse. He's prayed that they came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. And so when he talks about them passing away in the 13th chapter, he says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. He's not talking about the Bible. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. When the Lord comes and we're glorified, and this corruptible puts on incorruption, this mortal puts on immortality, death is swallowed up of life, and grave loses the victory, and death loses its sting. Woo! Hallelujah. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall not all sleep, we shall be changed. When that takes place, that which is in part will be done away. Now we see through a glass darkly, is what Paul said. But then, face to face, now we know in part, but then we will know as we are known. He was talking about the coming of the Lord. And when the Lord comes, the gifts will pass. Obviously, there will be no need for them. The gifts aren't some fancy thing that God just threw out there for no intent and no purpose. Healing is not something God just throws out there just to prove he's God. Healing is for people that are sick. Are you with me? And the gifts have a purpose. They meet a need. They have a function. You know why God healed the blind man? Not to show that he was the light of the world, but to show that he didn't like people being blind. You know why he healed crippled people? Because God made legs to walk with. He didn't make them to be crippled with. God made eyes to see with. And so when God does a miracle or a healing takes place, although it's supernatural in its entrance into the world, when it happens, it's a miracle and it's a healing, and we ooh and awe at it, and rightly so. All it does is restore something to its original order. It makes something right that's wrong. It fixes something that has been broken. See, Jesus didn't go around making healed people or walking legs crippled and seeing eyes blind. He made blind eyes see and crippled legs walk and deaf ears open. And he restored them to the natural order. Now, that blind man that saw and that cripple that walked, his legs are no different than your legs or my legs now that they're walking. Now he's normal. Are you with me? And we know that. We know that better than we think we do. We spend lots of money, rightly so, and praise doctors and hospitals and surgeries and medicines and all the things that help people get better. When someone's in a bad way, we do what we can to help them, and we should. Are you with me? We reach out to those that are, that don't have what we have physically, financially, and right on down the line. So, all right, so gifts although they may be supernatural, they serve a purpose, they meet a need. They'll be here till those needs are no longer here. Are you with me? And so when those needs stop and cease to be, and that we'll have to have a new body before healing will cease. Are you with me? We'll have to be glorified and changed. Jesus had to come back. And that's what Paul did say would happen. So anyway, y'all found 1 Corinthians 12? Man, I was going to hit this running. And I need healing because I'm just almost crippled here. I've been 10, 15 minutes here already and I haven't even got started. The gifts. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Neo-Pentecostal modern day phenomena. Glossolalia. Glossa, tongues. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 1, verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, spiritual endowments of supernatural power, that's what that is, spiritual gifts. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I think that's pretty plain. God doesn't want us to be ignorant of the gifts. And yet I would dare say most people that love God, they're good people, love God in church, probably don't know the first thing about the gifts. And yet Paul writes a whole chapter here on so we wouldn't be ignorant of them. And then he writes another whole chapter on how they should operate in the church, 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, and how they should, you know, what's proper, what's decent, what's the order of the gifts in the service, and so on and so forth. But he said, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. Now, he meant dumb. He meant they couldn't speak. They were dumb in the sense they had no brain. They were just wood carved out or, you know, they were fashioned out of gold or silver or something like that. So they were dumb in intellect also. But what he meant, they were lifeless. They were just lifeless, dumb idols. And they worshiped them. See, God's always been against us worshiping idols because God's not a dumb idol. God's not a stick figure. God's not a tree, and he's not gold, and he's not silver. God's a living, breathing entity, the ultimate entity, the originator of all mankind, the ultimate fact of all facthood. If you want to worship something like God, then worship Jesus, because he's God. He came, and he walked, and he talked, and he raised the dead, and cast out devils, and healed the sick, and stopped storms, and you know, gave to the poor, and preached and taught on the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum. A living Jesus, hallelujah. A living, caring, loving, concerned God. This God we have is not a picture. This God we have is not an idol. This God is live, hallelujah. But they worship these dumb idols. Everybody say Gentiles.
Gentiles.
Now he's writing to Gentiles. There's a separation. There were Jews that were saved originally when the church started, but then it began to, mushroomed into the Gentile world. And so you had Gentiles that Paul exclusively wrote to in 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All those were Gentile churches that he wrote to. And he said, you Gentiles. Gentiles are carried away these dumb idols. The Jews didn't worship idols, but the Gentiles did. And so he's explained to them that you were led to do this. And so he talks a little bit about leading. And most of us are led. There's nothing wrong with being led as long as you have a good leader. Everybody's not a leader. Everybody's not going to be in the forefront. But you should check out your leaders. Are you with me? You should make sure they're in line with certain rules. Your leaders should be in line with God's word, obviously. We've got election coming up. I'll tell you a good way to vote is get your Bible out. Look at the candidates. Do the best you can. Sometimes you have to take the lesser of two evils or the evil of two lessers. But the closest you can get to it, I mean, vote your conscience and vote the Bible. Amen? Okay. He said, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I love that. So if you're following someone, they say Jesus is a curse, that's not God, okay? He said, now you were led, however you were led, to worship these dumb idols. Let's talk a little bit about leadership. Leadership exalts Jesus. The right leader won't tear down Jesus. The right leader is going to exalt Jesus. And even when he gets into these gifts have to be in line with the Word of God. They don't stand on their own. They are not autonomous. They're not up to just, you know, well, I had a dream or I had a vision or I think God says this or I think God says that. Well, that's fine, well and good. But if what you think God says is not in line with what God wrote, what is written in the Bible, then we have a problem here. If what you think God said doesn't doesn't line up with Jesus, we got a problem here. Amen? Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Good sign in leaders is find somebody that believes Jesus is Lord. Well, y'all sound excited tonight. Hallelujah. And take your Bible and check people out. Know those that labor among you. Amen. It's not my word that's going to change your life. It's God's word that's going to change your life. And my job is to lead you to Him. Not to me. I'm not your answer. He's the answer. And so follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul said. You know, let my example lead you to Jesus. I'm just like the moon reflecting the sun. All of us are just like the moon reflecting the sun. All of us are revolving around the sun, as it were. We're all satellites. None of us are the suns. There's one sun, the Son of God. Amen.
Amen.
That was the problem Adam and Eve had. They thought they were nouns and they were just adjectives.
That's good.
Anyway, here we get into a division. In the fourth verse says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I love that. Everybody say diversity of gifts. And he gets into that, and he talks about nine different gifts there in the 8th, 9th, 10th verses. But, you know, everybody's different. I love that. That's great. The church is diversified. I mean, we're all different. We don't look alike. We don't talk alike. We, you know, a lot of us have different passions. That's a good thing. If anything the Bible teaches, it doesn't teach we're all the same. It teaches that we're all different. And that's wonderful. What is the same is God's love for us. He loves us all the same. What is the same is we're important. We're all important, every one of us. Even in a church setting, we've talked about that. Who's more important, me, the usher, people in the congregation, the nursery worker, the children's church worker, the youth worker? I mean, who's more important? We're all important.
Amen.
We need each other. You wouldn't want all those kids in here screaming. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I want to scream. Let me scream. Anyway, no, I won't scream at you. I'm not a screamer. So it says here, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That doesn't take away from that being God. I mentioned earlier about churches. I think that's significant. That's why I say often that we're not in competition with churches. Thank God for churches. Did you know there's a different flavor at First Baptist? There's a different flavor at Calvary Baptist. There's a different flavor at United Methodist. There's a different flavor, a different presence, as it were, an atmosphere, as it were, a different emphasis, as it were, in some of these other churches. We all preach Jesus, but you know, we seem to have different emphasis, as it were. But it's the same Spirit. Are you out there?
Amen.
Amen? Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning spirits, gifts of healings, gifts of working of miracles, gifts of discerning of spirits. I mean, gift of faith, excuse me. They're all different, but it's the same Spirit. Just because someone operates in one or flows in one doesn't make them any better than anybody else. Just because I've got a gift of ministration as pastor here, that doesn't make me any better than anybody else. It's the same Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And we got to quit worshiping people and worship God. Worshiping gifts and worship the giver. Amen? Someone's not more spiritual because they move in a gift as opposed to another gift. You know, often we're kind of that way, and it has to do with the star status we have, you know, American Idol and everything else. We think because someone has it together, seemingly, or someone speaks well or sings well, or in a church setting, charismatic-type church here, someone moves in a gift, that must be just super, super spiritual. Not the case. I mean, everybody, we're all in this thing together. Hello, we fight the same devils, as it were. Amen. You can pray in tongues all day long, and you're going to have to take your trash out. It'll smell your house up just like everybody else's.
Amen.
If you don't take it out. You don't mow your yard, that grass is going to grow. It's just, I mean, you know, come on. There's a lot of things that are just the same with all of us. We ought to give God the glory.
Yes.
Thank God for diversity. Thank God. I love it when someone can sing. I think that's awesome. Someone has that gift, or somebody can play an instrument. I think that's just wonderful. But I wish I had that gift. Don't, but that's okay. You know what? I got gifts. You got gifts. Are you out there? In general now. We're just talking about in general. We have different talents. So there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We're not in competition. We don't compete. We complete. Isn't that good? All of us together get together. We got something going now. You get a symphony together. You got all kinds of instruments. Boy, that sound that comes out of a symphony is so much fuller. It has such a much more of a movement, a moving of my soul because of all the instruments. The variety, the difference doesn't take away. It actually enhances and strengthens and magnifies the power of the song, you know, the symphony. But those are all different instruments. Hello. It's only when they play in unity that it comes out good. And that's something we ought to strive for in church. Amen. Diversities of gifts, same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Now, he kind of alludes here to, you know, you got evangelists, you got pastors, you got teachers, you got apostles, you got prophets. Ephesians 4:11 talks about that when Jesus ascended up on high, he gave gifts to men. He gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that we no longer be tossed to and fro as children, moved with every wind of doctrine, but grow up in him. So, you know, what's better, pastor, evangelist? There is no better here. Jesus is the only star in this show. They're all necessary. We need the evangelist. We need the pastor. We need the prophet. We need the apostle. We need the teacher. Are you out there? So, you know, he's hitting on unity. This is something he really hammers through this whole book. The book of 1 Corinthians is about getting people in order and getting them in unity. A lot of people say, well, they just had a real problem with tongues. They didn't have a problem with tongues. They had a problem with disunity. They had one saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. And he said, wait a minute. He said, I may plant, somebody else may water, but God gives the increase. And he strives for unity. They were coming together having a big meal instead of having communion. People come bring food, and there are people who didn't have food. And if you didn't have food, you starve. You did. You had a party. And he said, this is not the Lord's Supper here. So he talked about order, and he talked about unity. Here he's talking about the gifts. And he says, look, nobody's more important than anybody else. Let's strive for unity. Let's seek to excel, to edify each other, to encourage each other. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. So he says difference of ministries, but the same Lord. I love that because you see the Father, Son, Holy Spirit right here. The Spirit, Lord, Jesus. And the next one says there are diversities, activities or operations, but it's the same God who works all in all. So you got Father, Son, Holy Ghost right there. The gifts are by the Spirit. Offices and ministries are from the Lord. Because it says Jesus ascended on high and gave gifts to men. Ephesians 4:11, if you want to write that down. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay, so you have the Lord involved there in those ministries. That's just the word diakonos. We get the word deacon from it. It means to minister. Ministration, services, ministries. And then he says, it's the same Lord. There are differences of activities or operations. I think that's significant because everybody doesn't minister the same way. Everybody doesn't have the same delivery, as it were. Even when someone's praying for somebody, or you see evangelists maybe that move in gifts of healing. You've been to crusades if you've seen people where miracles took place and people come out of wheelchairs. They minister differently. They have different operations or activities. Even Jesus, you know, he'd lay hands on one guy. He'd talk to one, say, be healed. Another one, he said, took mud and spit and put in his eye. Are you with me? Those are different operations or different activities, but it's the same God. You know, we could say, well, we're going to do it this way every time. Well, that's fine. You could just have a spit, mud, put in eye ministry. I don't know what you'd call it, but Jesus did do that one time, but he didn't do that with every blind man. You know, in the Old Testament, Elijah told Naaman to go down and dip seven times in the river, in the Jordan River, you know, a muddy river. And, of course, he got all upset, and he said, I got better rivers where I came from than that. And his servant finally talked him in and said, look, man, I mean, it wasn't a hard thing for him to ask you to do. Just go do it. It's not the river that heals you. It's not the dipping that heals you. I can tell you right now, dipping won't heal you. Y'all get that in a little bit, but anyway. But it's just obedience. Whatever God said, do it. Are you with me? And it's interesting, Jesus did things different ways sometimes. I mean, I think normally the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and Mark 16:18, and then James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray you one for another that you may be healed. You can pray for each other to be healed. You can lay hands on each other to be healed. Are you with me? James 5:14 says, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil In the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith saves sick. Lord, shall raise them up. There's anointing with oil. Mark 16 is laying hands on. James 5:16, just praying for one another. Either one of them work. Are you with me? What works is believing God. Isn't that right? So the operation or the activity may be different. The way it operates may be different. Just like I preach different than a lot of people. I know some people say that, you know, I'm just too laid back, or some people say I don't holler enough, and some people say I'm too loud, and some people say I'm too soft. I don't know, you know. I don't know which porridge bowl is hotter or cold or whatever, Goldilocks. But anyway, I am what I am, and I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and I understand that. Hello. But that's okay. I mean, hey, we're all different. Amen. I've got to flow with the way God's anointed me and gifted me and operate in a certain way, and other ministers are going to operate another way. But it's all God. We're all talking about the Lord. We're trying to help people and bless people and love people. Amen. So you got different gifts, same Spirit. You got different offices or ministries, same Lord. You got different activities or operations, the way it operates, you know. But it's the same God who works all in all. But one thing is for sure, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us to profit with all, to profit to the profit of all. I like that, because when a gift moves, we often center in on the person moving in the gift or the person receiving the gift. For instance, if someone came up here and, you know, we laid hands on them and they jumped out of a wheelchair, hallelujah, that'd be great for me. That'd be awesome. And we kind of center in on just that person getting healed, but really we all profited from it, because that manifestation was a wonderful thing. I'll tell you something, everybody that walks down this aisle and gets saved, we all profit from it. Everyone that gets water baptized, we profit. We all profit from that. Isn't that true? I mean, really, when you think about it, every victory of anybody that's in the church is a victory for the whole church. And we ought to all rejoice over all the victories everybody has, and we ought to mourn with those that weep. Are you with me? Weep with those that mourn, so on and so forth. Because we're connected, see, and it's when a gift gives, oh, that person is so spiritual. Well, listen, that was for all of us. Yeah, but it was just a personal word for this person. Well, yeah, it was, but you know what? God doesn't love that person more than he does everybody else, and it was given, and we can all benefit from that. Hello. So when the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, he didn't say every one of us would have the gifts. He just said the manifestation of a gift we all profit from. Because he makes a point emphatically in the 8th, 9th, 10th verses, to one is given this, to another is given that, to another is given this. Hello. Meaning that we're not going to all flow in all the gifts. You know, I can't get a card and say I flow in all 9 gifts the Holy Ghost at will. Ministering to ghosts from coast to coast. God's man of iron, full of faith and power. I think, you know, God could use me. I mean, rarely on that, he might reveal something to you, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. A work in a miracle could take place. I understand that. But normally, you know, someone's going to move in one gift or another. Are you with me? One, mostly. If he's an evangelist, he could probably work in a miracles, maybe, gifts of healings. You know, as a pastor, I would probably move in the gifts of interpretation more than anything, because I'm the leader, I'm up front. That just naturally be the way it is. I might move in some other gifts, but that would primarily be what I'd move into more than most things. So, you know, even in Acts 8, we talked about this before, where Philip went to Samaria, remember, and he preached Christ to them, and it says many sick of the apostles were healed, many lame were healed. I always thought that was significant. He didn't say many were healed. He said many sick of the palsies were healed, and many lame were healed. So when you look at the gifts of healings, plural, evidently Philip seemed to flow in the gifts of healing the lame and sick of the palsy. It appears that he, you know, had a real, I guess anybody could get healed, but he seemed to really have the manifestations in that area. Are you out there? So, diversities of gifts, different ministries, and different activities. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given every man to profit with all. We're not in competition here. Amen? Nobody's any better than anybody else. The gifts flow for all of us to benefit from. And we should have that attitude anyway. We shouldn't have envy, and we shouldn't have covetousness in the church. We ought to rejoice in everybody's, where God uses anybody or God blesses anybody, we ought to all rejoice in that. I mean, there's nothing getting me crying faster than somebody getting saved.
Right.
And it wasn't me getting saved. I got saved years ago, but I just rejoiced somebody got saved, man. I mean, come on. Or somebody gets baptized, or, you know, come on. Somebody gets healed, or somebody gives a testimony, getting their life back together. So, you know, God touches them. So that's a victory for us all. And then he says 8th, 9th, and 10th verses. I'll wrap this up by mentioning all the gifts and quit. I'm about 5 or 10 minutes. I'm done because I need to do some baptism. And we'll just pick this up next week. But here's a list of 9 gifts that the Bible mentions in the 8th, 9th, 10th verse. Know some things here. It says, for to one is given, not to everybody, but to one. Y'all see that? And this is a point he makes all through here, this whole chapter. He says we're the body of Christ, but members in particular. And the hand cannot say to the eye, I have no need of thee. And the ear cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Are you with me? So he's talking about diversity, and he's talking about how we're not all going to be flowing the same way. For to one is given the word of wisdom. One. Not wisdom. Not somebody that's just real smart. Well, he's got the word of wisdom. He's just real smart. No, it says the word of wisdom. He's not operating this all the time, but God drops on him a word of wisdom. And that would be future tense. I'll explain all this in detail later. I don't have time, but if you're writing notes. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the Spirit. That'd be present tense. Wisdom be future tense. A man hears Jesus' words and does them. He's a wise man. Wisdom always has to do with doing something. It has to do with the future. It has to do with acting on something. Knowledge is just present. Just present information that you wouldn't have known any other way. Like if the Lord revealed to me you had something wrong with your upper left-hand molar. Oh, wait, somebody in here has something wrong with their upper left-hand molar. Who is that? And you'd stand up, wow, how did you know that? Well, that would have to have been a word of knowledge. I couldn't have known that any other way. Are you with me? I don't operate in that, but I mean, I've had on occasion have that happen. In fact, the example I just gave you is one Brother Osteen, he had a word of knowledge one time. That I was in a church service, we just started going to Lakewood, and I had a problem with my upper left-hand molar. And he stood up and said that, and God healed me. We just started going to that church. And there's no way he could have known that. There were several thousand people out there. Okay. That'd be a word, not all the time operate, but just a word of knowledge. To one is given the word of wisdom. To another is given the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith with the same Spirit. That's not the faith we all have. Because we all have faith. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, Romans 12:3. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we all having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore speak. And Peter says this, to those that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we all have faith if we're Christians and believers, but there is a gift of faith that comes and goes as the Spirit wills. To one is given by the Spirit faith. Y'all out there. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. You know, I think we can all pray one for another to be healed. The Bible tells us to do just that. But that's not the gifts of healing, which are instantaneous. I think that's where people get confused too. Is they'll start believing for healing or someone will pray for them. We'll pray one for another to be healed. It doesn't happen immediately. And they think, oh, that's not God because it should have happened immediately. No, that's the gifts of healings. Gifts of healings are immediate. Are you with me? But praying one for another to be healed, sometimes it may take a while. I don't know. But just don't give up. Believe you're healed. Thank God you're healed. And it will come. Pray one for another that you may be healed. That's what the Scripture says to do. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Jesus said that. Amen? But that's not the same thing as the gift. See, there's a counterpart to all this. All these have a counterpart. And the difference is one is as the Spirit wills and one is as you will. Now, I can believe and stand in faith all day long, but that's not the gift of faith. I could pray for healing. We could pray for each other, but that's not the gifts of healing. Are you out there? The difference is by the Spirit, to one by the Spirit. To another, faith of the same Spirit. Another, gifts of healings of the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Now, this is just simple prophecy. That's encouragement. To edify. To encourage someone. That's exactly what the Bible says prophecy is. This simple gift. In 1 Corinthians 14. He that prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to people. You say, well, what is predictions? That would be the word of wisdom. That's where they predict things and prophesy like that. It comes out as prophecy. Just like if you go to Starbucks and you say a cup of coffee, you get a cup of coffee. If I go, I get a double tall, one Splenda latte. I got the lingo down, okay? I call it coffee, but it has a Splenda in it, has some milk in it. That's what they call a latte. They would say leche in, you know, Spanish. But I just call it coffee. So coffee is the carrier, as it were. It's like a cup of tea. If you go get a cup of tea, you want one lump or two with that, you know. You go over to Great Britain or you go over to India. I've been to India. I've done missionary work over there. They put about a gallon of milk and a spot of tea in it. You know, I mean, it's mostly milk. It's got some tea. They call it tea, though. It's over half milk. They still call it tea. So many times we're saying prophecy like the prophets prophesied, but there would be a word of wisdom in that because it's predictive. Are you with me? Might be a word of knowledge, something present. So these gifts, you know, we vocalize these gifts and speak, prophesy this out. And we call it prophecy. But general prophecy is to edify, encourage, and exhort. That's what the Scripture says. And we'll get into that. Stay with me. We'll get into that as the weeks progress here and talk about that. General prophecy. But within general prophecy, sometimes it carries these other gifts. Are you out there? Okay. So it says, to another work in miracles, to another prophecy, to another discern of spirits. Discerning means understanding or seeing of spirits. You might say all the visions that you see in the Bible where John saw into the spirit and he saw the bottomless pit open. He saw demons come out of there. You know, he saw angels in heaven. He saw the angels, the fallen angels. He saw spirits. He understood and saw them, discerned them. Those would be, that'd be a discerning of spirits. He didn't operate in that 24/7. That was a supernatural manifestation that took place in his life where he saw that. Are you out there? And it was just a discerning spirit that came on him, then it left. It says, gift of discerning of spirits to another different kinds of tongues. That means you can speak a lot of languages. These are unnatural, unacquired. Every one of these gifts are supernatural. Every one of these gifts come only as the Spirit wills. And so it's not the ability to speak in different languages, because that's not what this is by the Spirit. This is not by the university. This is not by Rosetta Stone. This is not by Berlitz. Are you out there? I think it's great if you can speak two or three languages. That's just not what he's talking about here. He's talking something about here, the Spirit, a gift that God gives that you wouldn't have had it any other way. And it says here, tongues, different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. These aren't as we will, they're as He wills. Amen? So they're connected to the Spirit and He gives them out. You know, if you write notes down, it might help you to categorize it. And I've heard this, read a lot of books on this, and I thought it was a pretty good way to categorize it. If it helps. If it doesn't help, throw it out. It's fine. But you might say there are three categories in the nine gifts. Revelation gifts. Those are gifts that reveal something. The word of wisdom reveals the future. The word of knowledge reveals the present. Now, I know you have to take this on faith because we don't have time to explain all that right now, but come back and we'll keep teaching on this. Word of wisdom reveals the future. Word of knowledge reveals the present. Discerning spirits reveals the spirit world. Visions and dreams. Those are gifts that reveal, revelation gifts. Then you might say the next category would be power gifts. They're gifts that do something. Gift of working of miracles. That's a miracle. Gifts of healings. That does something. And gift of faith is thrown in there because when a gift of faith hits you, you don't even think about what you're doing. You're not stirring up your faith. You're not trying to believe God. You're not hoping this thing happens and hope you can work your faith up. I mean, the gift of faith just hits you, boom, and you do it, and you think, wow, what did I just do? So it often works with working of miracles and gifts of healings. I mean, when you walk up to a guy and just grab him and jerk him out of a wheelchair, you don't normally do that. If the gift of faith hits you, and in fact, I've talked to a lot of people who have done things like that, and a miracle took place, and they said things like, I don't know why I did that. Something came over me. I grabbed them, jerked them out of that chair, and they stood on their feet and ran off. So a healing took place, but the gift of faith hit that person too. So I'd say there'd be power gifts. And you see that in the Bible also, being turned into another man. So the gifts of healing, gifts of working miracles, and gifts of faith, power gifts. And then the last three would be vocal gifts, because they're always spoken out. Tongues, always accompanied with interpretation of tongues. And then prophecy, to encourage, edify, and exhort. Now, the gift of tongues is not what happened in Acts 2. It's not what happened in Acts 19. It's not what happened in Acts 10. The difference is they all spoke in tongues in Acts 2. These are divided severally by the Spirit as He wills, and to one is given. They all spoke in tongues in Acts 2. That was the baptism with the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. Acts 19, they all spoke in tongues. Acts 10, they all spoke in tongues. So it's not the gift. The gift is as the Spirit wills, to one, to another. Are you with me? Your will, His will. That's what differentiates or distinguishes the gifts from what we normally operate in. And we'll talk about that. And that's why he goes on later and says, do all speak in tongues? Well, no, not the gift, not in church, the gift. But they did all speak in tongues in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19. Are you out there? So that's not the gift. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what the Bible says. So you got these nine gifts divided severally as Spirit wills. And in the weeks to come, we'll begin to take them apart. And if I hadn't thoroughly confused you, y'all come back next week. We'll talk some more about them and go through the Scripture. Hallelujah.